Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Oh my goodness, we're in trouble. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers this morning. We appreciate you so much. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate those of you who are here today because of your mom.
All of us.
I was wondering, Karen, if anybody was going to catch that. So anyway, but for those of you who are our guests today, because you are here with your mother, we are very glad that you're here. And today's going to be a very special day. Let me give you just a few announcements. Be sure and remember, we will not, because it is Mother's Day, we will not be having evening services this evening. So enjoy the day with your family. Church board meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. This is the new church board. Be sure and go by the sound booth back there and pick up the board packets for tomorrow night's meeting. It does begin at 6:30. Be sure and remember Wednesday night activities here at the church at 6:30. The ladies who have been coming to Bible study, you will not be having a ladies' Bible study this coming Friday, so be sure and remember that. Next Sunday is a very special day. We're going to be beginning the process of Bible school. Wow, can you believe it's almost that time? Bible school, a very brief Bible school meeting right up here at the front, right after morning worship, and then the Good News classroom is having a potluck right after that. So be sure and remember that. It's a couple of weeks off, but Billy Huddleston, we've had Billy here before. We will be in revival with Billy May the 24th through the 27th. Now, I know that is Memorial Day, but which is more important? Come on, I'm kidding. Anyway, be sure and remember revival with Billy Huddleston, May the 24th through the 27th. Any other announcements that need to be made? We are so glad that you're here today. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you.
A mother loves us from the start. As we all grow beneath her heart, at first she carries us in her arms. With love, she keeps us from all harm. Soon, on her hips we ride, and with one hand she stems the tide of all the work there is to do to keep her family on the move. Do you remember all the dirt that she removed with the corner of her shirt? And just a little elbow grease and the spit which from her mouth released. She'd rub and spit a little more till our faces shone like her kitchen floor. And before she let us out the door, she'd check a time once more. Well, times have changed, but mothers, no. So now to keep faces aglow, they use a little bottle of a product filled with chemical love. Today we'll give each one of you a bottle of your own to use. So hold your spit, behold your eyes, can use this stuff to sanitize. Moms, your love of your husband was first, and even now you continue to minister to us men. But somehow in the expansive love that is a mother, you extend that love to those precious gifts we call our children. Your hours are long, but rest assured, though we may not say it often enough, you are loved. You are appreciated for all the many ways that you express that love to your entire household, to your neighborhood, and to your local church body. Moms, we pray for you often, and it is our prayer that you will always seek the Lord in prayer, in His Word, for the daily strength you'll need to bless us the way you do. For by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not only keep blessing us, but you will continue to bless the heart of the Father, to whom be all glory, honor, praise, and blessing. Amen.
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 Let's stand and sing Indescribable.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty.
Attendeth my
Yeah.
15, yeah, is that right? Through 17, okay, so this will make sense. So we as Christians understand, or we should understand, or maybe we don't, I don't know, that Jesus is the very image of the invisible God. That is to say, if you're curious about what God looks like, you look to Jesus. So I'm going to read to you a very short section from the Gospel of John that tells us what our God is like. This is from John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. That was the job of a servant or a slave in that culture, was to wash the feet of people of import. And yet Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and knowing that he was going back to God, knowing that he himself was the very image of the invisible God, chose to do just that, to stoop down and to wash the feet of the people who very soon would either betray him or abandon him. So if you're curious of what God looks like, that's what God looks like. That should affect dramatically the way that we exist in this world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet enemies with God, he gave himself to us. Lord, I just pray this morning that we would all be people who have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to respond to this God who is you, who delighted to make his dwelling place here with us. I just pray that there'd be no doubt as we go about our day, as we go about our week, as we go about our lives, that we serve a God who first served us. And that we know what it means not just for you to be God, but for us to be human, means for us to serve one another as you served us, to love one another as you have first loved us. We thank you for this great opportunity to hear your word preached, and we just pray that you would bless Heather as she brings to you the message for this morning. It's in your name that we trust. It's in your name we serve. It's in your name we live. It's in your name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Holidays are the hardest messages for a preacher to preach. You just wonder sometimes what you can say that hadn't already been said. Believe it or not, I am not a mother. For 42 years, I have pastored, and the first year I pastored, we came to the church there in Russellville. It was July, so I didn't have to preach for Mother's Day. But that was 43 years ago, and so for 42 years, I have stood in this pulpit, or stood in a pulpit, to try to preach to mothers, and always wondered if what I said made any sense because I had never been a mother. I am a father, and I'm glad for that. But over the past few weeks, as I've been thinking about Mother's Day, I thought there is one who could speak to mothers who is a mother. And so, Heather, we're glad that you're here today to speak to our mothers to speak to other the men. Just lay us all out, okay?
I'm ready.
You're ready. Bless you, Heather, as you go.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Things turned on. I am very happy to be here today. I'm happy to be at Crossville Nazarene every Sunday. It has been, I think I've told a lot of you, when we moved from Virginia almost 2 years ago, two years ago in July, when we moved here, my two biggest fears were friends and a church. Because I came from the church that I came to know Christ in. And it was very evident from day one, we have not been anywhere else. This is the only church that we have attended in Crossville. And it was very evident from day one that this is where we would land and this is where God would have us. And it is the largest, one of the largest answers to prayer moving here. The others would be friends. I have met people here that I just can't imagine my life without. And so I am very happy to be here this morning and also very happy to be able to share with you this morning what the Lord's put on my heart over Mother's Day the last couple of years, actually. Some of you may or may not know me. I am Heather. My husband is Bill. We have four children. They are not here today because they all have their own lives. They're grown up. They've moved on. I got a text or maybe a phone call this morning from all but one of them. but she's also a mom, so like I'm going to give her a little grace. So I've been collecting mom-related titles over the years. I am a mother. I'm a stepmother. I'm a mother-in-law. I'm now a grandmother. And so that basically means I have been loved, needed, ignored, adored, and blamed, sometimes all in the same afternoon. So I feel like I have a little bit pretty qualified to talk to mothers about mothers today. And so, but somewhere amidst holding all of those roles, I have learned something about myself that I didn't love learning, and that is I am really good at trying to hold everything together. And I remember when Bill and I got married, we're a blended family. He came with two, I came with two. For both of us, it was a buy one, get two free kind of situation. And when we got married, I was so focused on blending our family, to making sure that the kids, because we got married, I started a new job, we got a new house, like it was all the things, the stressful things in your life all at one time. And I was so focused on bringing this family together to look like, I don't even know, I think what I was trying to do, make it look like other families, I don't know, but here we were, this hodgepodge of kids and people and in new town, or not a new town, but in a new house. And I was trying to make sure that everybody was adjusting. We were moving. I wanted to make sure the kids were happy. I wanted to make sure that everything felt seamless in this transition time. I lost sight of what actually needed my attention. Part of that was my marriage, our marriage. Because I was trying to make sure these kids weren't fight. I don't know why I didn't want them to fight. Normal biological siblings fight. I don't know why I didn't think that they weren't going to fight. But I lost sight of some important things in that time because I was so focused and gripping so hard on these pieces that things were starting to slip through my fingers and I didn't even realize it was happening. I just thought that if I kept working at it and I kept managing it and I kept holding it and I kept trying to hold it all together that it was going to be okay. What I came to realize, what I didn't know at that time, what I came to realize later on was that I was carrying something that was never mine to carry alone. And some of what taught me that in that time wasn't a sermon, it wasn't a scripture. No offense, Pastor William. I've been going to church now as a mom for 19 years. I don't know what anybody's ever talked about on Mother's Day. I don't remember it. I don't know. Probably because I was too busy trying to make sure my kids weren't fighting. I don't know. Or trying to get them to church on time. But it wasn't scripture or sermon that taught me those things. It was the women that God placed in my life who walked with me when I was white-knuckling everything along the way. It was my own mom, and I am very blessed. When it comes to moms, I am so blessed. And she has walked through things with me that I am fairly certain she never in a million years would have signed up for if she had the choice. I was not an easy child. I'm still not an easy child. Yes. But I have had other women in my life step in these mother-sized shapes over the course of the year, over the course of my years. In our last church in Virginia, there's a lady by the name of Myra. I texted her this morning and said, Happy Mother's Day to my Jesus mama. Because when I gave my life to Christ, she came in and walked alongside me. In Virginia, my parents and I have not lived in the same state until we moved here in 20-some years. And I had women who stepped in like Myra, who walked alongside me and was my mom on days that I had it. I had doctor's appointments that I would need to go to, and I was worried about it. And my mom, not that she wouldn't have gone with me, but she was too far away to get there. And I had women who would go with me, who would walk with me in all of those times. And they stepped in times, in exactly the right moments in my life. They didn't fix everything, but they reminded me just by being there that I wasn't supposed to be doing this alone. I wasn't supposed to be doing life alone. I wasn't supposed to be mothering alone. I wasn't supposed to be a wife alone. And that points to something that is so far bigger than any of us, and that is because Scripture never says that we're the ones holding everything together. Colossians says that Jesus is. And I want to stop for just a minute, and I want to acknowledge something. I know that today is not an easy day for everybody. It's not a simple day for everyone who's sitting in the room. Some of you are celebrating today with your kids, and that is genuinely wonderful. If I had the perfect Mother's Day, all four of my children, my grandchildren, my kids in love, all that, they would be sitting right there. That's the best Mother's Day gift that I could get. Some of you, maybe you got, maybe somebody made you breakfast or took you out to breakfast, or maybe you got a card that made you actually cry in a good way. Maybe your kids called or they're going to call. Maybe they texted or Snapchatted. Hold on to that. That's, for some of them, that is what they are capable of doing today. They acknowledged you. We're going to count that as a win. My son texted me first this morning. Our oldest said, Happy Mother's Day to my favorite mom. And I said, I'm your only mom. And he said, you're still my favorite. I said, okay. Hold on to those things. But some of you walked in the door carrying things that you didn't mention to anybody when you walked in the door. Some of you are missing a mom that you lost, and today feels like a wound that might not heal. Some of you are longing to be a mother, and every Mother's Day, it's just this constant reminder of something that you're still waiting for. Some of you are estranged from your children or from your own mom, and this day just brings back all the times that were hard to explain. Some of you are caregivers for aging parents, for special needs kids, for people who will never say thank you, and you are bone tired in a way that nobody around you will ever fully understand. And some of you are exhausted. Not from one big thing. My best friend called me this week and she said, Heather, any of these problems by themselves would have been fine. But there are so many things that are happening right now, I don't even know where to start. So maybe you're just exhausted, not from one big thing, but from 1,000 small things that nobody sees. That invisible load, the mental list that never ends, the way that you lie awake at night just running through everything that you didn't finish, you didn't fix, you didn't quite hold together right. I see all of you in this room this morning. But more than that, God sees all of you in this room this morning. So while it's Mother's Day and that's my job today to talk to the moms, I'm going to talk to the moms a little bit, but really it's for all of you. It's for every single one of you. It's for every single person in this room, because whether today feels like a celebration for you or you're just trying to survive it, we all share something in common, and that is we are carrying things that we were never meant to carry alone. We pick up weight gradually. I mean, I can sit and eat all the chips and salsa in the world, which I would love to do, and it won't immediately come on, but if I continue to eat the chips and salsa, which I would like to do, but I will not, the weight that we carry doesn't come on easily. It comes on gradually. It starts with, we're responsible people. So we do what we're supposed to do because we're responsible people. And then, because we're responsible, we become the dependable ones. And so then people are starting to depend on us because we're the ones who remembers things. We follow up. We hold the pieces together. And somewhere along the way, the responsible becomes the exhausted, the dependable becomes the depleted, and the one who's holding all the pieces together starts to feel like she's running out of hands. Moms, I know you know how this feels. You've got kids running. We had four kids, all of them involved in something. And there are two of us. And we were just like, well, how are we going to get to this ball field and this ball field across town at the same time? Somehow it all worked. Somehow we managed to get it done. They're all still alive. I only left two of them at church. One I left twice. But we only lived a mile away, so it was fine. We just ran back to get them. And so, trying to hold it all together. And you leave kids behind. But this weight that you're feeling, it's not a sign that you're failing. It might actually be a sign that you've been trying to do something that only God can do. Because some of us are trying to hold together the things that were never ours to hold. And the good news, and there is super good news in all of this, Jesus never asked us to. He never asked us to hold that all together. That was never what he said to do. We're going to be in Colossians 1 today, starting in verse 15. A little context in this. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and there is a problem. There's a huge problem. False teachers, false prophets, false teachers have crept in. People are being told that Jesus is not quite enough. They're being told that you need Jesus plus other things. You need certain rituals. You need certain knowledge. You need certain spiritual experiences to really be complete. It's like Jesus plus this equals, and there's this spiritual completion over here. And Paul's response basically is like, hey, let me tell you who Jesus really is. Because you guys don't actually know what you're talking about. I feel Jesus like singing at the top of his lungs, like, let me tell you about my Jesus, right? That's what I feel like in this when he's telling about, and he says, this is, because if you understand who Jesus is, then the not enough stuff, that not enough argument falls away completely. So starting in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Paul's not being casual. He's not being passive about this. No, it's just like, oh, by the way, this is who he is. He's making the biggest claim possible about who Jesus is. He's the image of the invisible God, meaning that if you want to know what God looks like, as Jack said, you look at Jesus. He is before all things, meaning he existed before creation, not as part of it. Everything was made that was made through him and for him. He is not a feature of the universe. The universe is a feature of him. And then in verse 17, really is where I want to hang out today. In verse 17, it says, by him all things hold together. By him all things hold together. That phrase, hold together, I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but I do like to look at the words when Google pops it up, then I go look at to make sure it's like real, that's really what it means, because I am not a Greek scholar. But that phrase held together in the Greek word is sunaistemai, and it carries this sense of being held, sustained. preserved from falling apart. Not in a passive, hands-off kind of way. It's active. It's ongoing. So right now, in this moment, Christ is the reason the physical world continues to cohere. So he is the reason that there is order instead of chaos. So listen closely to this, though, because Paul does not say Jesus held all things together. It is not past tense. It's not like back at creation, he held all things together. He says that Jesus holds all things together, present tense, continuously, right now. Jesus is not barely managing the world. He is actively sustaining it. And that includes your life. He is actively sustaining it. That's not just power. That's also tenderness. If we look in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus is standing over Jerusalem. It's a city that had rejected him, a people who have turned away. And he says this, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." If you think and you have that image of a hen who has gathered her chicks under her wings, Jesus, the one before all things, the one whom through everything was created, is standing there with his arms open, longing to gather, longing to cover, longing to hold. And the city said, no. This is not the posture of someone who holds things together by force. This is the posture of someone who holds things together by love. This is what I'm going to do in 2 weeks when the Anakin shows up, and I'm going to run out in the driveway, and I'm going to have my arms wide open like this, and I'm going to scoop him up, and I'm going to spoil him rotten. Because that, my friends, every day I look at him, I praise God, I did not kill his mother. Because if there was a harder child than me, it was my daughter. But this is the posture of someone who wants to love. This is someone who holds things together by love. And the same Jesus who sustains the universe is the one who wept over people who wouldn't come to him. That is who we are trusting when we say, I can't do it all. And I let it go. He's not just holding the galaxies together. He's not just the tides and the seasons. It's your life. It's your family. It's the relationship that you think is too far gone. It's the child that you have been praying for since they walked away. It's the situation that feels like it's held together by nothing more than a white-knuckled grip. He is actively sustaining what you cannot control. And he is doing it with the same tenderness he showed standing over Jerusalem. This passage in Colossians, it is not about you, just in case I told you who Paul said it to and what was happening. Make no mistake, it's not about you. It's not instructions for what you're supposed to do. It's a declaration of what Jesus does. Which means the pressure that you've been carrying, the pressure to be the one who keeps everything from falling apart, was never yours to carry in the first place. There are things that you can do. You can love people fiercely. You can show up. You can pray. You can serve faithfully. You can give generously. You can be present in ways that matter deeply. Those things are very real and they count. And I say this for as much all of you as I say this for me. You cannot change someone's heart. You cannot guarantee outcomes. You cannot prevent every loss or fix every broken thing or carry everyone's future in your hands. And when we try, and most of us have tried, I think moms tend to try a little harder It doesn't matter what one of those four kids comes to me with. My heart breaks for whatever they're walking through. As a teacher, I have collected more children, friends with children. I keep collecting children, and my heart breaks for so many of them. But when we try to fix things, we end up exhausted and empty and wondering why it's not working. It's not working because we were never designed to do what only Jesus can do. And so there's a difference between faithfulness and control, and it's worth just thinking about that. God never asked you to be perfect in the sense that you did everything the right way. He never asked you to absorb everyone's pain or prevent every mistake or to be the emotional center of gravity for everybody around you. He asked for faithfulness. He asked you to show up. He asks you to love well and to trust him with everything else. When we say faithful, we say, I will do what God has put in my hands to do, and I will trust him with what he hasn't. Control says, if I just work harder, if I just grip tighter, if I worry more, if I manage it better, I can keep this from falling apart. Or maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way. I don't know. Could just be me. I don't know. One of these things leads to peace. The other leads to the kind of exhaustion that no amount of sleep will fix. And that's where the rest comes in. This rest that we read about so often. It's not because we're lazy. The rest is not a laziness. It's not a giving up. It's an act of trust. It's an act of saying, if Christ is truly the one that holds all these things together, then the rest that we want, it's not irresponsible. Resting in him is actually the most faithful response to what this verse is telling us. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your cares on him because he cares about you. Those are not suggestions or verses for people who have their life all together. He doesn't say, like, hey, after you figure it all out, then come on and you can take a nap. But that's how that's what we do, at least I do. That's an invitation for someone who's tired. Jesus is not saying, come to me once you've finished holding it all together. He's saying, come to me instead. Come to me. Rest becomes possible when we actually believe that Jesus is still working even after we stop striving. And that's not a small thing for us to do. For some of us, stopping feels super dangerous. Like Danger Will Robinson, we cannot do that. We cannot stop, because if we stop, the whole world's going to fall apart. I don't know when you learned that lesson, but for me, that was a very hard lesson to learn. If you have not yet learned that lesson, come to me when you do, and I will comfort you. It was a hard lesson to learn that I could walk away from something and it still spun. Somewhere deep down, we believe the lie that everything falls apart. That's just the lie that happens. In Colossians 1:17, it's telling us the opposite is true. Things hold together not because of our grip, but because of his. And his arms are open. And they have always been open. So what do we do with this? Some of us have heard truth like this before. We've heard it. I've heard it probably more than once. I'll probably need to hear it more than once again. We nod along, something shifts, we're like, yes, I gotta let go, I gotta do this. And then we get up, we walk out of church, we go and we just pick it all right back up. Not because we didn't mean it, but for some of us because we haven't figured out what letting go actually looks like or what it feels like when we do. If I'm practical with you, it doesn't mean stopping. It doesn't mean you love your people less. It doesn't mean that you stop showing up or that you throw your hands up in the air and say, not my problem. Or not my circus, not my monkeys. That's not trust. That's just a different kind of avoidance. What it actually looks like is praying specifically over the things that you have been worrying about generally. Taking the things that you've been carrying in your chest and putting them into actual words before God. Naming it. Handing it over. Not once, but as many times as you need to. It might be so far as to not just telling God, but bringing your church family into the fold. Allowing your church family, your prayer partners, your accountability partners to pray with you over these things that you keep trying to pick up. It looks like asking for help when you need it instead of waiting for someone to notice. I mean no disrespect to my husband when I say this, but sometimes they don't notice and they never will. And that's okay because God gave them lots of gifts besides noticing. I can't say that. He does notice a lot. But sometimes people don't notice. And you're just sitting there waiting for them to notice. Instead of saying, hey, I'm over here, I'm struggling, can you come help me out? Because then what happens is we get into this resentment because we're standing over here, think we're doing everything but ourselves, and nobody realizes, well, guess what? We all have our own lives. We're all figuring, and we might not notice. But I guarantee you, if I don't notice, and you come to me and you tell me that something is wrong, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to help you, and I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to work through that with you. Just because I don't notice, just because you don't notice, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't care. It just means we're all walking through something. But asking for help is hard because for a lot of us, we have been the helper for so long that we don't know how to ask for help. It was really hard for me to say, I'm sorry, I have four children that have to be in four different places at the exact same time. There are two of us. He was probably working late because that's what he did to support us. I had to go and ask for help. And it hurt. I know what it was like to go and ask for help when I needed some help financially to get some of our four kids to youth camp or to youth convention. And the prideful part is me that I'm not taking money from anybody, but who does that rob? It robs my kids from being at a convention with and learning more about Jesus and doing all the things. And it hurts. We're in a different season of our life now that we can go alongside and we can be the people who babysit and who drive kids places and help financially with some things. And that's the beauty of that. We don't forget what it was like in the trenches. But it also looks like releasing the guilt that you've been holding over the things you can't fix. The relationship that didn't heal the way that you hoped. The child who made choices that you couldn't stop. The mom you wish you'd been on the hard days. Grace is not just for other people. It's for you too. It looks like being present instead of perfect. Your people do not need you to have it all together, but they need you to be there. You are deeply valuable even when you're tired. Your worth is not in how well you hold everything together. And for some of us, that is the best news that we could hear today. Before we close today, I want to ask you a couple of questions, and it's not an out loud thing. It's just between you and God. What burden have you been carrying alone that was never yours to carry? Where are you trying to control something instead of trust God with it? What would it actually look like to let Jesus hold it with you? I want you to imagine something with me for just a minute. Imagine what a church would look like if we stopped pretending that we had it all together. If instead of walking in on Sunday with our game faces on, we walked in honest, There were days that my kids walked in with mismatched shoes. Actually, to be completely honest with you, if I'm 1,000% honest with you, when I first started attending church, I went a couple weeks before I gave my life to Christ, and then I started attending afterwards. I didn't actually take my kids to church because I was embarrassed because they were loud. And I went to a church once when they were little that said, if your child makes noise, you should remove them from the service. And so my kids were loud and obnoxious. I don't know where they get that from, but they were at that time in their life. And I was embarrassed to take them to church. And then there were times that they would walk in and it's like they fell in the closet and got back out. But at the time, I was a single mom. This is before I met Bill. I was a single mom, and just getting to church is not always easy like a Sunday morning. And so just getting to church, and I know there were certain people that might look at me and be like, what is she doing over there? Surviving. That is what I was doing. Surviving. Showing up for church on a day that I very well could have said, I'm staying home. What would it look like if people come in and they sit in your seat, or because they don't know but they're here, or their kids come in and they're running around all rampant, and instead of just looking about, boy, she should get her kids under control. We were just like, aren't they cute? Can I help you get to the nursery? Can I help you get to where you need to go? Can I sit with them for a little while and try to entertain them? And it's not just kids. It's not just kids. If anybody can entertain Bill, why? It's not just kids. Ladies, sometimes we're like our husbands. Like, where is our husband? We cannot find him. I make that in, and I'm so grateful that he has a great sense of humor. But I don't want those of you with young kids to feel like that's what we're sitting off. We're not here. They did that a lot in Virginia. But in Tennessee, they seem to be a little bit better. But what if a mom could just walk in and say, I'm running on empty and I don't know what I'm doing? And we just scooped her up and said, neither do we. I have zero idea what to do with adult children. I didn't know what to do with little ones either. But somehow we survived. What if the caregiver who hadn't slept in 3 days just said, I need help, and somebody actually shows up? What if the person who's walking in who's just been trying to hold on to something for so long could finally just walk in and say, I can't hold this anymore. And find out here that Jesus has been there all along. Because if I had a dollar for every time I said, I can't do this anymore, I'd be really rich. But the problem is I was trying to do it all along by myself. That type of church, that type of community is not a utopian fantasy. It's what the church is actually supposed to do. Be a community of people who have stopped trying to be their own savior and started trusting the one who actually is. The truth is that the good news of the gospel is not that strong people hold life together. It never was. The good news is that Jesus does. And he held it together at creation, and he held it together on the cross when everything looked like it was falling apart. And he holds it together right now. He holds it together right now, wherever you are in your life, whatever you are walking through, he is holding it together. And he will hold it together tomorrow when you wake up and the weight is still there. When our strength fails, Christ remains steady. When our hearts are overwhelmed, Christ remains faithful. And when life feels fragile, Christ holds all things together. That is not a greeting card. That is Colossians 1:17. That is what it says right there. That is the word of God. And it is true whether you are feeling it right now or not. So today, whatever you came in carrying, you don't have to leave with it. You can lay it down. Not because miraculously in the last 30 minutes you figured it out. And not because everything's going to be easy from here on out. But because Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together, including you and whatever you are walking through today. Jesus, we thank you Thank you for holding all things together. Thank you for holding every weary mom in this room together, every grieving heart, every anxious soul. Lord, thank you for holding together every person in this room who came in today carrying something invisible and heavy. Lord, it is my prayer that we are reminding us right now that we are sustained by you. Lord, help us and teach us to release what we were never meant to carry alone. Lord, help us to live faithfully without trying to be everything for everyone. Lord, help us to come alongside people and fill holes that they don't know that they even have. Help us to walk with other people in our life, Lord. Show us the people who we can become a part of their prayer life, that we can encourage, that we can show up for, so that we can help them learn what it looks like to rest in you. And Lord, bring along people in our lives to help remind us what rest looks like in you. And Lord, for anyone here today who hasn't yet given their life to you, who's been trying to hold everything together on their own strength for such a long time, Lord, would you make yourself known to them today? Lord, we thank you that even when we are weak, you remain strong. And even when we're falling apart, you are holding us together. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. My prayer today is that you may leave today knowing that the world does not rest on your shoulders. Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Have a fantastic day today.
Wow. Every Mother's Day, I do something. I've been doing this for years and years and years, and I want to continue that today. All of our ladies, mothers, hope to be mothers, grandmothers, whatever you are this morning, would you give me the honor to come and stand before this congregation and allow me as your pastor to pray for you? Gentlemen, is not this a beautiful sight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for these ladies who stand before us today. They stand before you. Across the years, they have held us together at times. Thank you, Lord, for the examples that have been set, the lessons that have been taught, the love that has been given, the demonstration of a life that has been lived for Jesus. We're grateful, Lord, for them, and I ask you, Father, that today that you would bless them and that you would help them. Lord, some of them are have kids at home, and as Heather's talked about this morning, sometimes it is a struggle that even the dads don't understand. Sometimes the dads are busy and they're trying to hold all the family together. Very grandmothers who are standing before us this morning that are enjoying those grandkids. Help them, Lord, to continue to teach Jesus to those grandkids. There are great grandmothers and even some great great grandmothers who are here this morning. I ask you, God, that you would bless them and that you would help them. There are ladies who hope to be mothers. And there are those this morning whose hearts are longing. So, Lord, we pray that you would touch and that you would help as only you can. May you indeed be the one who holds them together as they try to hold the rest of us together. And may you bless them in a very, very special way. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for this day to honor them. And Father, I pray that today that they would know how special they are to us and how grateful we are for them today. Go with us, bless us, help us. And for the things that you're going to do, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ladies, thank you so much. As you go out of the service this morning, we've already got some folks out there ready to give you just a small token of our appreciation for you. But thank you for being here. I hope you have a very happy Mother's Day. Lord bless you. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Have a great day. You are dismissed.